All right, everybody, welcome again to another edition of Steel Nation Radio presented by Steelers Takeaways. I'm Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, and with me, as always, is the author of the book Steelers Takeaways. How's it going this morning, Ron?
It's going well. We've got a treat for you guys today because we've got Anthony Smith on the line here, and former safety for the Steelers, and wanted to talk to him about the New England game, about just sort of off-field stuff, especially with today's hotel stuff and all the other kind of stuff that's been going on. But first, before we get started, I want to talk to you, Anthony, just about what you're doing with yourself, how the music career is going, and just let people know what you're doing with yourself these days.
Hey, brother, how y'all doing? Appreciate you having me on. As far as right now, since I retired in 2011, now I'm just myself and a group of other former NFL players actually got together and formed a group in a company called Battle of the Trenches. And, all we do is train and mentor from ages 6 and up. And we also have an after school program that we do called the Dream Program, where we mentor, actually train the kids. And what we do is we send them through a whole, pretty much like a simulation process of the NFL. So we actually, have a little combine with them. We test them. We have to do a little push-up test and sit-ups and have them run a 40 and do the broad jump. And we also, have a regular season game. And we have three different teams. So we all switch up the games. And we have a full season. And then we have the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So it's a pretty neat deal.
That's great. And how old are the kids and where is this located?
It's actually in Kennesaw, Georgia. And they range from, I think our youngest kid is actually 6. And they go from about 6 to 12.
All right, I might send my kid your way.
Right.
So, obviously with the New England game coming up today, we wanted to talk to you a little bit. And just to start from the start, because of all the off-field activity, the comments and the hotel alarm thing that happened this morning. I just want to get your take. Obviously you had some comments that you made some time ago before a big New England game and that were taken out of context from your perspective when we spoke last time. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on, first of all, what happened that last time, why you were taken out of context from your perspective, and then also talk about sort of what real life effect stuff like this has on a game. I mean, does it have an effect at all? And so, sort of what that would be.
So from when my whole ordeal, when I had got interviewed before the game and said if we were to, eliminate the big plays, because we had the top offense and the top defense. And they were also up there. I'm like, if we start to be played and eliminate that, we'll come out with a victory. And then one of the reporters, he said, so are you saying you guys are going to, are you guaranteeing you guys are going to win? I'm like, if we eliminate the big plays and, stop all that, I'm like, yes.
And what are you supposed to say?
Right.
Win.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, they turned that whole big thing into, Smith guarantees a win this weekend. So it didn't bother me because, as a player, that's the attitude you have anyway. You're going out to win every week anyway, so it's no different, for a player. So it didn't have any effect on me as far as that goes. But media-wise and stuff like that, they need stories and look for things and stuff like that. So it was a good I guess it was a good lead for them into the game to make it a little bit more interesting, I guess.
Does that have any effect on the game? I mean, you hear Antonio Brown, obviously the locker room stuff, and do you feel like other teams get more motivated, or if you're the team that was out, you get more motivated? Does it really impact how you practice, how you play the game, or is it just come game time, none of that matters, or even come practice time, none of that matters? What are your thoughts on that?
It depends what's said. Guys just going out, most guys are, taught to speak politically correct, which is, in my view, politically wrong. because, you know, most guys are, they beat around the bush saying they want to win the game. And that's something that's, you know, that's crazy to me. And I don't know how sports has came to that, to where players every week, you know, guys are scared to say we're going to win. And it has a big effect on the game if the players, you know, they say something, you know, as far as like something that the whole team feel disrespected by, you know. Now, it's just a comment to where it doesn't really matter and it not really won't affect anything, that it won't bother anything. But as a whole, if it affects the team and demoralizes the character of the team or something like that, then that's when it has a bigger effect, I think, on the game. And that's when guys become motivated and stuff like that.
In regards to the Patriots, you know, Brady's one of the best ever, and they've had a ridiculous amount of success. And it seems like every time, you know, the league does something to the Patriots, they get even more motivated. Brady plays even harder. I mean, why is that? Why do they feel like they always have a chip on their shoulder when they're already always there? What do they just need to find some extra motivation, or is that just something they're putting out there and really behind the scenes it's non-existent, it's just media related?
It's just all media related, man, because it's a certain point to where it's just certain things you just expect. You know, Michael Jordan, he expects to win every game. So it's just like, that's nothing. He doesn't need extra motivation. You know, teams like that, Steelers, organizations like that, Green Bay, you know, those teams that are used to winning and know winning, they don't need extra outside motivation because winning is enough, and they know what that feels and tastes like. You know, when you get, you know, the taste of winning Super Bowls, it's like stuff like that. You don't need any more motivation than that. So, you know, most teams and successful people just feed off of that more than, you know, looking for something to be motivated by.
And in regards to Brady.
Oh, no, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to continue with Brady for a second. You know, that obviously he's had a lot of success. What is the key to stopping him? Is it getting a lot of pressure on him? I mean, if he gets that time, he usually delivers the ball pretty quickly and pretty accurately. How can he be stopped or at least contained today in particular?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not, you know, everybody knows Tom's not mobile at all. So the best thing is to do is to get pressure on him. But, you know, the thing about him is he knows that he's not a mobile guy, so you know, his thing is getting the ball out quick. So it's kind of hard to hit him because he knows that, and he doesn't like to take a lot of hits, so he gets the ball out quick. So, you know, it's just more about, you know, the D-line, when they do get back there and get those chances to, you know, try to get the hands up and back the ball down. But he's a pretty tall guy, so, you know, it's just all about a time the thing and being able to get your hands in that throwing window, because like I said, and like we all know, it's hard to check him because he releases the ball so quick.
And when you played in that game against New England, what was sort of the game plan for addressing New England's passing game, because and just offense in general? Because I imagine not much has changed. New England has sort of done the same thing over and over with variations of the same, but they're just technically so precise that they can continue to do it. What was your game plan? And you know, to Mike's question, you know, if you're Pittsburgh, what do you do? Do you jam receivers, even though that's not normally the way you play? You know, how do you defend against this offense in a way that will really have an effect, knowing the Steelers' defense now?
The way you beat those guys, man, is just to eliminate the deep plays. You just got to rally up and hit. The whole system is built off of, they're going to dink and dunk you the whole time. Boop, 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 boop. And then they, you know, they go down the field on the big play. So, you know, they're very good at that, lulling teams to sleep, you know, with their short routes and inside, and then boom, they'll hit you deep. So, you know, they get a lot of teams like that. So it's more just stopping the big plays and being patient and then, you know, just coming up and hitting those guys, man, when they catching those short balls, you know. So
making them pay for it.
Right, making them pay when they run on slants and stuff like that. That's the only thing you can really do, because you know, those quick routes and stuff, you know, like I said, they get the ball out quick and the receivers are going to catch them. So it's just all about, you know, making them pay, punishing them, and making them look for you before they look for the ball. So, you know, that'd be my whole intentions and, you know, purpose when I'm out there on the field.
You think that today is the best defense Le'Veon Bell today? Ball control, keeping Brady off the field, keeping New England's offense off the field, just giving it to Bell 30 times and riding him?
Absolutely, man. I think that's, you know, that's obviously one of the better game plans to keep the ball out of his hands. And Le'Veon, you know, once he rushes, you know, over 100 yards, they pretty much have a high success rate. So I'm pretty sure that's, you know, their game plan, and it opens up the offense a little bit more for Ben and stuff like that. But Le'Veon is also, I'm pretty sure they're going to come trying to, he's hot right now and running good. So I'm pretty sure they're going to ride that, you know, that tank and try to let him rush for over 100 yards. And like you said, keep them off the field and the ball out of their hands as much of the time. And eat that clock up, and they got to score damn near every possession.
Do you think there's a danger to do that, though? Because, you know, my whole thought is, you know, I get the time of possession thing and keeping the other team off the field, but the defense can do that, too, with stops. So, like, if you're scoring and then the defense gets back on the field, you know, it doesn't matter as long as you score how much of that time you have on, how much of that time possession you own if you're, at the end of the day, stopping them on defense. So that's the question I always have, is I get the time of possession thing, but does that become a trap when you're so worried about the clock that you're not doing what you need to do to score points?
That's exactly, I agree 100% with you. At the end, that's what I was saying. It's like, you know, the time of possession is cool, but against a team like that, then one of the teams, which is very few of them, that you have to score down there every time. So it's like you can play around with the time of possession if you want to, but like you said, if you ain't scoring damn points, that's going to bite you on the ass. Anyway, you ain't doing nothing but milk clock, because they're going to come down there and put points on the board. So, yeah, you got to control the ball and be able to put points on the board. That's really, you know, how you control the game. You got to be able to do that. Otherwise, you know, you don't know how that go down there.
Yeah.
It could be over real fast if you don't.
Yeah, right.
And how do you prep? You're in these big game, you know, big game weeks. How do you prep? How do the coaches prep you when you were there in Pittsburgh about that week prior? You know, what changes? Does anything change about the way you prepare for a game like this? And how do you tune out the noise as a player and even as a coach for, you know, all the pressure and all the media talk and all this other stuff that happens that just compounds all that pressure? How do you, as a player and a coach, how do you handle all that, and what, if anything, changes in big weeks like this?
I tell you, the only thing, from my point of view, and experience of playing and stuff, the only thing that changes in these weeks is nothing but, from a player's perspective, weightlifting. You know, guys, this is a time where it's playoffs, they get more physical. The games get tougher and stuff like that. So, but mentally, guys usually put in the same amount of time and work they do. Because when you go to, you know, change your routine and doing all that other stuff, that's when you kind of get out of whack on your rhythm. So it's more about finding your rhythm, catching that wave and riding it. And pretty much just seeing that out. And that's the best way to do it, really. Nothing ever really changed.
Keeping that rhythm, you know. Don't change what's working, that kind of stuff?
Yep. You don't come in a week and watch an hour or more of film just because it's, you know what I'm saying, you keep your same pattern, whatever you do to win.
I have a question about that. Just so you talk about, you know, the weightlifting and things like that, and keeping everything the same, James Harrison gets off the plane at 3 or 4 in the morning this past Monday morning, after, and he goes right to the weight room and hits the weights. Is that who he's always been? Is that what he's always done? Just, it seems like that's just him. Is that about right?
Yeah, man. He's always been that type of guy. You know, since I know, we actually stayed out up the street from each other, man, at Wexford. We were out there, and, you know, I had worked out with him one time. I took dedicated the whole off season to work out with him, man, because I was, you know, I always had a big upper body, man, but I wanted to get some bigger legs. So I'm like, man, you know, let's try working out with Debo, man. He got some big ass legs. This might work out.
So I took the guy to do it with, yeah.
Right. I took a whole off season and dedicated that to working out with Debo. You know, it's just about genetics, man. You know, my legs got strong as hell, like they always do, but, you know, they never really got bigger like that. So, you know, that's what I just realized. It was just a genetics thing. But he's always been that way, man. When we go to the gym, he's, you know, I'm one of them gym rats. It was me, him, you know, Joey Porter, Clark Higgins, Ryan Clark, TC. You know, we had some.
Higgins was big in that stuff, right? Higgins was huge,
man,
in that way.
That whole defense used to be in there like that, and that's why we played the way we did. And, you know, that's how we used to be as physical as we used to be. You know, because we just fed off each other's energy, and everybody had that same mentality. So, you know, we had a guy, I told, you know, Green Bay, when I went over there when we played Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, I told them guys, man, y'all know what kind of guy I am. You know, they got 53 of them over there, so, you know, y'all gonna be ready. Y'all, you know what time it is. So, you know, I think everybody got the hit, and he went up there and got the job done, but he's definitely always been that type of guy, though.
You give Green Bay any insight on the Steelers while you're out there? Not to give them any trade secrets, but you able to give them any feedback when in that Super Bowl game, knowing what you knew from Pittsburgh?
I mean, kind of not really, because, you know, you had the two gurus over there. You got Capers and you know, Dick. So, you know, defensive-wise, I really couldn't, you know, shit, pick. I just had a brain fart.
Steelers coordinator, man?
No, D coordinator for Green Bay.
Oh, I don't remember, but you're telling him, and what did he have to say?
Don Capers, I'm sure. Don, so, you know, you got him and Dippy Bowl over there, on the defensive side of the ball from both teams, so, you know, they had the defense. So we really couldn't much like to tell them that. And then on offense, it's just, everybody knows, you know, Pittsburgh offense is ground to pound, and it's ground to pound first, and then, you know, pass is second. So, you know, that's not a hard formula to figure out in itself. You know, they had 20 stars over there, so it was just about, you know, stopping those guys. So it's not too much you can do with certain teams. You just got to stop what you know.
So, tell me a little bit about leadership, because one of the things that I always love to hear are the stories in these big weeks, especially about how leadership adds some humor or, you know, lightens things up to make that week a little easier to deal with for players, especially the younger guys. Any fun stories, any funny things you remember from sort of playoff weeks from the Steelers team and some of the funny things that guys did to sort of keep it light, just the pranks, the jokes that they pull on each other?
You know, we were a team who didn't play many pranks on each other. We were more of, because we had the older guys, you know, they were more about the brotherhood, the family thing, the team camaraderie. So it was, we had fun times and did, you know, funny things every now and then, but most of our relationships and things was about team building, just being around each other and actually having a good time and appreciating each other and just building that bond. And we pretty much did everything, went everywhere together. So that was one of the biggest reasons and things why we're successful over there and why that organization is, because it's more about family and than it is just the game. So, you know, we all out there playing for actually for each other rather than out there individually. It's just to, you know, go collect a check. Like some organizations, and that's why you see why they never win, because those guys are, you know, a bunch of individuals playing for a check instead of a team playing for a championship. So I was blessed to be on the team with that many, you know, legends and veterans, man, and I was just all ears and eyes of them. So I just appreciated all those guys, and you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. All the knowledge and experience I got from those guys.
We've got about a minute left, minute and a half left. You've got two of your former teams playing today. Do you have any predictions for who's going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I actually tweeted last week, man. Man, both of them boys is hot right now. I'd like to see a rematch.
Steelers Green Bay going at it?
Steelers Green Bay, man. Steelers Green Bay.
Who do you think takes that game? All being healthy.
All being healthy? Man.
Hopefully we'll be at that point where this is a question we really need to ask it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get back on the line after this weekend. see how this plays out, and then I'll give my predictions on that.
Yeah, you can't take anything anyway.
Usually the team I'm on wins, so you know, now that I'm not playing, I guess I gotta give an actual breakdown to see you know who's gonna win.
Before we let you go, is it tough to watch these games? You still want to get back in there and hit some receivers?
Sometimes it is, because, you know, all the softness I see out there. So, but other than that, you know, I'm actually still pretty healthy and can actually play. I retire early on my own.
Right.
But, you know, I have my days where, you know, it's like, man, I can go out there and do it, and then other days where I'm like, you know, whatever, so... You know, but the right opportunity comes next year. One of my guys are in the right position, man. I'm actually not there for a year. I only want to play on third down to come in and make plays and make shit happen.
Okay? Did I get a call yet?
Right. So,
well, thanks a lot, Anthony. I really appreciate you taking the time and talking to us about all this stuff. And, you know, good luck with everything, especially the camps. And maybe you got to hold up a Kobe and do some rap stuff or something with Le'Veon. Who knows? But I'm glad the camp's going well.
Man, I appreciate it, fella. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate y'all. I hope y'all have a good trip.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Take care.
All right, fella.
All right. Take care.
That's it for another edition of Steel Nation Radio, presented by Steeler Takeaways.